This episode of DG's Courtroom is sponsored by Draft, a daily fantasy app where your chances of winning are almost three times better than on FanDuel or DraftKings. On Draft, it's draft day every day. You can do a simple snake draft for one day whenever you want. Drafts take just minutes to complete. Download Draft now. Be sure to enter the promo code DFBPOD when you download to get a 100% deposit bonus. And with that, we're off. Welcome to the show for Wednesday, February 8th, 2017. Weird week of NBA action. A glorious 11 games on Monday. A disgusting three-game slate on Tuesday. Followed by a glorious 12-game slate on Wednesday. The NBA schedule wants to toy with our emotions this week after the Super Bowl. I don't know why we couldn't have had a nice balance. Let's say seven games on Monday, six on Tuesday, eight Wednesday, or something that would be much better for all of us. But it is what it is. 12 games, it's a lot of games, as you guys know. A lot of players. We need ways on this slate to narrow the player pool. We cannot be looking at 1,000 different players throughout the course of the day. It will make our heads explode, similar to playing two Plumleys in a lineup, which some of you tried to do tonight. Dear God. Anyway, good to be back. Took a little day off yesterday or on Tuesday because it was such a disgusting three-game slate. I barely played at all. And look, if there's slates that are that disgusting, feel free to take a night off. And if you did play, I hope you played pretty – you didn't play a lot. Unless you won money, then I hope you played a lot. But on those days, it is very hard to differentiate lineups. So for me, the guys, you know, in terms of using your actual DFS skill, not a ton of skill – is involved, so I tended to take the night off. Although still, obviously, there's some skill in play on a three-game slate. Welcome to the show. If you don't know who I am the judge, your host, Daniel Green. You can find me on Twitter, at DanielAGreen1. Also, you can go to the website, dgcourtroomtfs.com. And still behind the scenes, there are many things percolating. One of them is a website, and we're making some changes. Hopefully, that will be back up. I don't want to give a timetable on that. Like parts of the website we're still running. Like if you go on there and look at the power rankings, that's clearly up for chambers. But hoping to get more updated on a more regular basis, and that to become a big part of the show going forward. But for the time being, it's really not super active. But I have someone helping me behind the scenes. Hopefully, we'll be doing some cool things on the website soon, and I will keep you posted, of course. If you could please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast, that is very helpful for the judge. Remember, one of our goals to get back into the rankings, it would be a monstrous feat for us all, because whatever algorithm, iTunes, and all these things use to get in the pod rankings, it's so skewed towards new shows. Especially when baseball shows watch, the rankings are going to be like 125 are going to be baseball shows. And I'm sure those are going to be really, really freaking exciting. Ball strike. It's going to rain in Cincinnati. Let's play. Whatever. Anyway, rate, review, subscribe. Also, when the judge tweets out the podcast, sometimes I tweet it out, well, after I post it. So it's normally like 4 or 5 in the morning. Hopefully most of you are sleeping. Although it is pretty funny. I know a lot of you do tweet at me late at night waiting for the pod, which is pretty cool. I don't know if you work night shift or you're up super late, but when you do see it, when you see the glorious tweet, no podcast is available, and you don't have to fall asleep listening to Roto Grinders or Fantasy Labs or one of these other shows that are just cringeworthy how bad they are. So when I tweet it out, please retweet it, because remember, I want to expand the listener base and grow the show. Always a good thing. In terms of me getting sponsors, that would obviously be a good thing. In terms of more shows for you, that'd be a good thing. So if you like the judge, do that. If you don't like the judge, then yeah, no, I'm not sure why you're listening to the show. But still glad to have you. Also, this is very exciting news. I didn't mention this on the show a couple days ago. So as you know, hopefully, I have joined the Almighty Baller Podcast Network. And I talked a little bit about this a couple days ago. But why is this glorious for us? How can us who are playing DFS and putting our blood, sweat, and tears into making some money into this venture that is getting harder and harder to cash by the day? Because I am now part of a network that has podcasts. Guys, in all seriousness, We have a podcast for every team in the NBA. So is there a team, like, and I'm being serious with you guys, if there's a team out there that confuses us, perplexes us, I know there are teams for me that we want to, you know, I mean, with a podcast for every team in the NBA, whereas I watch every team play, but these guys, it's like their job to dutifully watch every game of a particular team. Therefore, let's say we're pissed at, let's say the Lakers. Luke Walton's giving everyone 24 minutes. We could bring the host of that podcast on the show, ask him questions, figure out what the hell Luke Walton is doing, who can we trust going forward, and maybe, honestly, maybe that would give us a leg up going forward. Who's another guy? Rick freaking Carlisle. He makes us crazy, right? So we could bring on the host of the Dallas Mavericks podcast. He could fill us in on what's going on in Carlisle's head. And I mean, there's ways for us to use it to our advantage in DFS. Also, not to mention, it's just good to hear about another team. But I'm telling you, I think you guys heard me on a roundtable with the guy who hosts the Hornets podcast, who's a really, really intelligent guy. And he was tweeting us today about whether or not we should play two Plumleys. The one, I forgot, Miles, Mason, well, they're all the same. I think Miles is on Charlotte now. So we can really use this to our advantage and to really help us in terms of who we want to play going forward in the second. Because in the second half of the season, it's going to get tougher, especially as teams start tanking, teams start resting more and more of their players. So we can really use this to our advantage. So if there's a team that you would like to really hear about, let me know, and the judge will try to get that guy on the show. I really do think it could help us out. Jason Kidd, we just have – I was on a roundtable a couple days ago with someone who's now hosting the Bucks podcast. You know, so that's another coach who makes us crazy with his big men, right? So there's ways that, you know, we can use this to our advantage. I am doing this for you. When I joined the network, I said, how will this help the listeners? And that's quite honestly, that's one reason how it can really help us. All right. If you would like a consultation with the judge, not sure how long I'm going to keep these up. I love doing them, just like I love doing the podcast. The problem is, whereas the podcast, I do about an hour, 2 hours of prep before I do the shows and posting and the IT issues and all the hassles that comes with it. Chambers, another hours or 2 hours. It's all about time for me. And if I could just hit record and do a podcast, that'd be glorious. I would be doing 7 days a week for you guys. But it's all the other stuff. It makes it hard. And with consultations, which I'm doing 30 minutes or an hour, where I will talk about roster construction with you, what contest to enter, my favorite, my must-have research techniques, what sites I like to use, tracking and analyzing data. Huge thing to talk about, difference in strategy versus cash games, GPP, single entry tournaments, analyzing some of your own lineups. If you would like one of those with the judge, let me know. The people who've done it with me, I've gotten probably like 90% positive feedback and 10% who are still losing and they hate me. But that's just part of DFS. Now, even if you do one, as I mentioned in prior shows, this ain't the Matrix. You can't take a blue or a red pill. I can't give you a pill just to make you a good DFS player. But I'm not sure how much longer I'll be able to do them, just because it's just so hard for me to find the time. I love talking to you guys. I love doing it. But I suggest, if you are thinking about it, grab me now before I just vanish into a dark cave somewhere and just don't do consultations. And when the judge is gone one day, you will miss me, because then you will be forced to listen to some of those other podcasts. But then again, maybe they'll put you to sleep, so then you'll get a good night's rest or a good whenever you listen to it. Because, man, I really do like to listen to other podcasts just to see what else is out there. And I am just mortified at what's out there. Are you guys mortified? I'm not sure. My apologies on behalf of the DFS community that you are subject to so much crap that's out there. It really is pretty frightening, some of the stuff that I've seen lately. Which is another reason why I like doing the podcast and trying to help out as much as I can. Anyway, also, if you could please download the lovely app Draft, and when you do, use the promo code DFBPOD. Remember, if you download it and you can't find out where to use the promo code, let me know. Let me know your username on Draft. You will get your deposit bonus. I will get some credit from the sponsor. Life will be good. Remember, if you've been playing, if you listen to the show a long time, you've been playing in chambers, you've been doing all the stuff with the judge. It really does help if you can support me, support the show. It does, you know, you might not see it, but I'm telling you, it makes a difference. So please download that app if you can. And speaking of that lovely app Draft, we now have a new 7 day to the death bracket challenge that's up there. 128 spots. It was already half full. I'm proud of you guys. It was already half full by the time I'm taping this, which is 2:45 in the morning on late Tuesday night or early Wednesday. So I just tweeted out the link, and because I've been had a crazy day. So you guys already saw it, but the ones who didn't, get in there. It's probably going to fill, I would guess, by noon on Wednesday. It starts on Wednesday, and it's mano y mano. If you win, you keep advancing. So the round of 128 starts on Wednesday. Sweet, round of 64 would be Thursday then, and so on and so forth and so forth. 7 days of action. So $10 for 7 days is glorious. And remember, draft is a snake draft. Really easy to do. It takes like 1 or 2 minutes. Five players, two guards, two forwards, a center. Boom, done. Phenomenal. It really is a really good time, and I love this. A nice change of pace from the DFS grind, man. Also, I did mention, and I don't think all the DFS shows, the other podcasts out there, stink. But I'm not a fan of all of them, as you probably have noticed. And I do think that this one clearly is different. Is it better? That's subjective. But I am trying to do something different, especially as more and more I listen to them and they're all the freaking same. I am trying to make the show more creative, more innovative, something that I'm not sure if they understand what those words are. I feel like going on as a guest and talking about it with them, but this show, I need to be more innovative, more creative. And going forward, that's what I'm going to do, because those things are putting me to sleep. If you're listening, they must be putting you to sleep. So I feel you have an affirmative duty, and I am a lawyer. I'm not a judge in real life, but I am a lawyer. Some of you, I get at least, I'd say, I don't know, 10 tweets a week asking if I really am a lawyer. It is true, which I know some of you may be surprised with, because yes, I do have to be serious throughout the course of the entire workday. This quote unquote judge personality has to stay behind. I can only unleash. But during the day, no, I have to be serious. I'm a lawyer. So today, before we get into the meat of the show, I'm going to talk a little bit about affirmative duty. You may be like, judge, I don't want to learn legal terms. Well, this one you need to know, my friends. So what's an affirmative duty? An affirmative duty, generally, it's a law dealing with circumstances under which the defendant may owe a special duty of care to the plaintiff. What does that mean for you guys? Here, the plaintiff would be, let's say it's like your friends, and you guys are the defendants. You owe them a special duty of care to not let them listen to Roto Grinders, Fantasy Labs, name a site, name a podcast. Bring them over to the judge. Bring them over to DG Courtroom. Show them the light. Show them the ways. Be wise. Be kind. Don't make them suffer through those other podcasts, man. Unless you do think they need some sleep. So, and honestly, an affirmative duty, it's a really interesting rule, because it varies in different states. For instance, like if you saw someone getting robbed right in front of you in certain states, and you weren't going to get harmed in stopping it, some states you'd have an affirmative duty to like try to stop that robbery. Other states, you can just watch the robbery happen. It's very interesting. Anyway, so please use your affirmative duty and your new legal jargon. You can impress a lady with that. Or if you're a woman listening, you can impress your guy tomorrow by talking about him. You know, can you believe how the states have, each state has a different affirmative duty law? But remember, your affirmative duty for tomorrow, the judge has given you an assignment. Bring at least one or two friends over to DG Courtroom and get them away to whatever crap they're listening to before. All right, let's move on to Chambers. So what is Chambers? Chambers is just the tournaments that we run on FanDuel and DraftKings where the best players in DFS compete. And as you guys know, we have a power rankings. Those were updated over the weekend. And then we ran a special best of the best on Monday. There was no podcast Tuesday, so I didn't have a chance to give a proper shout out to the winners. So what the best of the best basically takes the players who are at the top of the power rankings. And basically they qualify for a special invitation-only tournament on FanDuel and DraftKings. And that took place Monday. So I want to give a shout-out to the people who did well in those. For FanDuel, MG Fresh, who, if you've been listening to me or just following me on Twitter, this guy, or been playing in Chambers, this guy is on a run for the ages. It's a legendary run right now, my friends. It's like DFS is luck, and I know there's a lot, and sure, of course, some of it is luck, absolutely. But and just the Chambers or power rankings in general, you see the same guys up there pretty much all the time. Now, is everyone going to have bad days? Sure. But there is a ton of skill goes into DFS. It's a lot of hard work. And MG Fresh has been on just an amazing roll the last, I would say, 3 weeks now or so. He's been dominating, you know, not only Chambers, but whatever contest he's entering. So he won the best of the best, and he's the number one ranked player in Chambers. And that same night on Monday, I think he finished top 10 in the $100 entry tournament, which is called the Windmill on FanDuel. And he won, well, he must have won over $1,000 in that. So congrats to him. He's on a different level right now. He's playing phenomenal. Not to mention he won Chambers again on Tuesday, which was a 3-game slate. So big slate, small slate. Right now, the guy's just on fire. And what's going to be cool is that whoever wins Chambers, whoever's the top-ranked Chambers player, for I think for FanDuel and probably DraftKings too, I probably will bring on the show as a guest in one of the last shows of the season. Just to kind of one, to kind of, you know, give them their props on the show live. Also to kind of get their views on their playing philosophies. So you now have even more incentive to try to dominate the power rankings. So congrats, MG Fresh. The number 3 ranked player in the power rankings, Nesto, I Am Legend, who really good player, dominating all year long, top of the leaderboard all year long. And he's striving for that number one spot too. It was his 17th cash of the year, which is pretty phenomenal. I think that's the second most next to Jeremier. Or actually, you know what? It's tied for second most because Jeremier has the first, and then MG Fresh now also has 17. But Nesto has 17 cash, so congrats to him. He took second. And then the number 8 ranked player, Maddie Millions, took third, which was important for him. His 13th cash of the year because he almost was slipping out of the power rankings. And the power rankings are so close right now. Every time you cash, it does help. DraftKings, He Hate Me 21 took the DraftKings best of the best down. The number 7 ranked player, Rukin, finished second, and then Spreadis took third. So congrats to all you guys who finished top 3 and best of the best. The judge salutes you. So Chambers for Tuesday, again, it was a 3-game slate. I barely played, so I think I only had 2 Chambers on FanDuel. But you guys loved it. You filled it up fast. You guys wanted a third. I just didn't have the, quite honestly, didn't have the time to open up a third. Otherwise, I probably would have for you guys. But MG Fresh took it down again. Just a monster. It's just, I think he's had, it must be now 8-9 cash in the last 2 weeks. It's pretty phenomenal. And Rob Cook took one of the other Chambers down. Rob Cook 10, which is, I think, was his first win of the year in Chambers. On DraftKings, Superhero for Life took first. SB Wolves 16 took second. And Keats 18 took third. So congrats to you guys. Even though it's a small slate, a win's a win. Dream Killers, I'm not going to do, we have a monster 12-game slate, and I did a monster spiel rant at the beginning about affirmative duties, so we don't have a ton of time to go do Dream Killers, Dream Lovers. I will say NBA schedule, Dream Killer, absolutely, and then Kemba Walker, I will say Dream Killer. Also Aaron Gordon, both of you guys, Dream Killers. I don't know, I post this on Twitter, is Aaron Gordon, is he good enough to be on Magic Mountain with us? Because we can't just let anyone join Magic Mountain to be on the roller coasters, right? So, like, Eric Bledsoe's back on there. Zach LaVine's on there. Is Aaron Gordon good enough? I don't know. He probably is. He'd be one of the worst players that we allow on Magic Mountain. But he's back there. I think he got hurt on Tuesday. But whatever. He's just been atrocious. For at least the last two and a half weeks, he's been really bad. Coincidentally, that's when, since Evan Fournier came back, he's taken a big hit. And then Kemba, look, we can't deny it. I tried to kind of be a yo-yo, a change. I called it the Charlotte Batums. Then I didn't. Then I was back. No, it's Kemba's team. No. I have my gavel. The ruling is official. It is now the Charlotte Batums. It is Nick Batum's team. Kemba is the second. He's the sidekick. He's the second best player. It's official. No matter what happens the rest of the year, it's Batum's team. Kemba stinks. I'm so tired of that guy. Against Brooklyn, I think this is the second time versus Brooklyn alone in the last couple of weeks where he's killed us. Super disappointing night. It's not even going to be able to get 30 FanDuel points against Brooklyn. Super disappointing. And then on a 3-game slate where he was like 80% owned or even higher probably in cash games. Super frustrating. And I will say this, though. You know, I got a lot of questions about what's your strategy on a 3-game slate. And obviously the key is, for me, I only play tournaments. To me, there's no reason to play cash games whatsoever. But in tournaments, and this is any slate, we have to differentiate lineups. Remember, differentiate. Tournaments, differentiate. Whatever you needed to remind yourself of that, that's what you need to do. And that's why I say normally you need about two, three guys who are going to be less than 10% owned. But why one reason why this was a decent slate, or not decent, but why you could play tournaments here, Kemba was going to be so high owned. All you had to do in tournaments was pivot right off of Kemba, go to Dame Lillard. That's all you had to do. And there you go. And you're ahead of the game. And if you did that, you probably won money. If you played Lillard instead of Kemba, you won money. Now, if you were too scared to pivot off of Kemba to Lillard on a three-game slate, that probably says you might not be a great tournament player. And first of all, I don't blame you, because no one wants to play Dame Lillard tonight, especially because Yogi Berra just killed him and Kemba is up against Brooklyn. But these are the decisions that we have to make, and that's what tournament players do. Because if you're a tournament player, you're jumping at the chance here to fade Kemba. It's a beautiful scenario, because remember, the more chalk someone is in tournaments, the better it is for tournament players to fade that guy. So could you still play Kemba in some tournaments? Sure. But if you played like several tournaments tonight and you didn't play Kemba, shame on you, because this was an ideal spot where you knew he's going to be super high owned, and all you need is another point guard who's around similar price to have a better night than him. And it, you know, could Dame Lillard going into the night, would it be impossible if Dame destroyed Yogi Bear? I mean, I know everyone loves Yogi Bear now, but he's been in the NBA a week, so come on. And Lillard also, if he had any pride after getting destroyed by Yogi Bear a couple days ago, you knew he had to come out and have a good game. And he did, and he outscored Kemba. And therefore, if you played Lillard over Kemba, which on this slate was a contrarian move, it worked out super well for you. So that's a little quick, you know, just when you're thinking cash games, GPPs, I mean, if you're not, remember, you just got to pull that trigger. I mean, I know you're not probably not going to want to, but the takedown GPPs, that's what you have to do. You got to differentiate lineups. All right. Let's hop into injury news for this monstrous slate for Wednesday. So, DeMarcus Cousins, as you might have seen, if you're watching the last Sacramento Bulls game, which ended at like 1:30 in the morning or something like that a couple days ago, Cousins got his 16th technical foul already. So he's suspended for Wednesday. What does that mean for DFS purposes? Sacramento, where normally a game I may have faded, it may be interesting. Now, I did the – who gets the usage rate when Cousins is out? Lots of people, as you can imagine, right? Because Cousins is close to like a 38% usage rate these days, which is monstrous. So Darren Collison gets a 6.5% usage bump, which is pretty phenomenal. That's a massive usage bump. So I don't like playing Darren Collison almost ever, but without Cousins, that's going to be too big of a bump for me to pass up. So in some lineups and tournaments, I will absolutely play Darren Collison. Aaron Aufalo, who I can't stand, he gets a 6.2% usage bump. He is playing a lot of minutes, so I will probably play a little bit of him. I won't feel good about it, but that's a really big usage bump. Willie Cauley-Stein gets a 5.2% bump. Lawson gets a 4.8%. Kufis gets a 3.3%, and Matt Barnes gets a 2.7%. Now, between Willie Cauley-Stein and Kufis, let's wait and see who starts. Whichever one starts, Willie Cauley-Stein or Kufis, they would be a very nice safe cash game play. But either probably will be able to hit value. I figure both will probably get around 24 minutes. Jimmy Butler, he's still questionable with the heel contusion. You know, if you listen to all the shows, and I told you guys this a couple days ago, everyone's going to say, don't play Wade, don't play Wade. I mean, I think I listened to one show which said, oh, yeah, I guess you can do Wade if you want. I had Wade, not in Chambers, but I had a lot of Wade, because Wade without Butler gets an 8% usage bump. Now, we didn't know Butler was going to play that night. It is true, before lineup lock, because the Bulls are on the West Coast, and they are again tomorrow. They play Golden State. We might not know before lineup lock. But my theory on Wade is going to be this. In cash games, if Butler's out, well, then again, they're playing Golden State, so there's no spread right now because we're waiting for Butler. I'll probably wait to see what the spread is. But Golden State without Butler may be a huge favorite. So this may be a day – where Wade might only be a single entry or tournament player for me only. Because if Golden State blows them out fast, Wade might only get – they might rest him pretty quick. But Wade does get an 8% usage bump. MCW gets about a 4% usage bump. MCW has been over 40 FanDuel points last two games. If Butler's out, Wade and MCW are elite tournament plays. Because if that game stays close, which is going to be – I find it hard for the Bulls to keep that close. But Klay Thompson is also dealing with a personal injury, a personal issue. I think his grandpa died. So he's in the funeral, I think, in the Bahamas. So if he's out, Curry gets a 9.1% usage bump. Think about that. 9.1%. That's monstrous. What's weird is Durant loses 2 percentage points in usage, which is really weird. So I'm not going to pay too much attention to that. But so if Klay's out and Butler are out, that's a fun, interesting little game to stack. And then if it stays close, hey, we can make some serious money. But either way, with Klay out, with Curry getting that much of a bump, I think Curry is safe for all formats. Because even if they do blow out the Bulls, he should see, 30 minutes. And with that usage bump is just too hard to not take advantage of. And the Wade one's phenomenal as well. But probably, I may only do that in tournaments, depending if I'm too scared of the blowout for D Wade. Also, injury news: Iman Shumpert, ankle questionable. Thaddeus Young questionable. Kawhi questionable. The Kawhi one's somewhat intriguing. If he's out, LaMarcus Aldridge is pretty much safe for all formats, although that's pretty much a disgusting game, the Spurs game. You got the bums for Brooklyn, LeVert, AC, but that everyone's going to get 24 minutes in that game. Really, you don't need to play a ton of the guys on the Brooklyn side. Kenneth Fareed, personal issues. Looks like he's questionable. Moutier still dealing with a back issue. Tyreke Evans, ankle sprain. Joakim Noah, hamstring. You know, Hernan Gomez, phenomenal play. Not sure why. Actually, we'll wait and see what his price is, because I need to check during the show. I'll find out when you guys find out during the show. But, you know, some people got in fights with me a couple days ago when I said Hernan Gomez is going to be a great play and better than O'Quinn. And, yeah, Hernan Gomez, he's going to smash. He's better than – he's better than O'Quinn at everything in the world. And, yes, does Hornacek like to play Hernan Gomez with Brandon Jennings? Yes, but Hernan Gomez is a much better player than Kyle O'Quinn. So if I had to choose – between those two, it's not even close for me. Now, could O'Quinn have put up a big night too? Sure, because it's DFS, crazy things happen. But I think Hernan Gomez is safe for all formats. Deion Waiters, questionable with an ankle. Josh Richardson with a foot. So if those guys are out, I mean, the weird thing here, no one from Miami really sees a big bump. Dragic sees about a 2% usage increase, and James Johnson gets about a 2.5% usage increase. So both those guys from Miami would be interesting for me. I thought Tyler Johnson would see a big bump without Deion Waiters and Josh Richardson, but he really doesn't. So that may be one where you kind of have to use logic instead of what the data shows. Maybe the sample size isn't big enough. I think Tyler Johnson would be a really good play if Deion Waiters is out. Now, Chris Middleton is back for the Bucks. Now, don't play him because I don't think he's going to get a ton of minutes, but that's just exciting if you're a Bucks fan. Other than that, that's about it for injury news. All right, let's take a quick little trip to Vegas, or actually maybe a long trip, since 12 games. I'm still waiting on, like I said, the Bulls spread against the Warriors, because obviously Jimmy Butler will impact that. There's no spread on Kings, Boston. I'm not sure if Vegas is still figuring out what to do about Cousins. And then Spurs, Philly, there's still no line there, because of Leonard and some other things. And Embiid, I guess, too. I think Embiid's still questionable, but I would not expect him to play. But my philosophy on Spurs, Philly, remember, need to narrow the player pool. 12 games is a lot. So Spurs, Philly, get that shit out of my life. Get it out of my life on this slate. I don't need it. Remember, let the slate guide you. The slate must, throughout the course of every day, you should be repeating certain things. One, for tournaments, repeat, differentiate, differentiate, differentiate. Also, though, keep repeating slate, 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 because that has to guide who you play, right? A 12-game slate is going to be different than a 3 or a 4 or even a 5-game slate. I mean, a good analogy is me. Let's take dating. I'm from Wisconsin, right? I grew up in Wisconsin, from Milwaukee. So that was my slate, let's say. If I still lived in Wisconsin, I'd be married, 3 kids, probably divorced, maybe divorced twice. But I live in New York, a much different slate. So I'm still single because – maybe there were, girls that I would have seen in Wisconsin I thought I would have had to date and marry that I would not date or marry in New York. Because in New York, I have so many more options. There's girls everywhere. And if you're a girl, there's guys everywhere, right? So the options are aplenty. So New York is like a 12, 13, 14, 15-game slate. Whereas Wisconsin is like a 3-game slate. So, that has to guide you. Obviously, that's going to dictate what you do. So you know, I don't want questions from you guys on this slate regarding do I play Miles Plumlee? Right now, it was a legitimate question for a three-game slate. But on a 12-game slate, you don't have to force plays. Like, there's legitimate good plays at every position. So, like, if you're really trying to – especially in cash games. In cash games on a large slate, you just shouldn't be forcing it. You don't have to. There's really good plays at every spot. Now, in GPPs, can you still force it a little? Yeah, but even in tournaments, there's really no such thing as chalk on a 12-game slate. You know, if someone's, like, 30% owned, that's a pretty high ownership. So everyone's going to be a pretty decent ownership level as well. So you got to keep telling yourself the 12-game slate. The second you find yourself thinking about, you know, Joe Ingles or Trey Lyles, tell yourself, whoa, wait. I don't live in Wisconsin. You know, I'm in New York or I'm in L.A. Not a three-game slate. It's a 12-game slate. So remember, that your overarching theme, that dictates what you do on Wednesday. Man. I feel like I was screaming at you guys. I didn't mean to scream at you guys. Sometimes I get very passionate about this stuff. I feel like and the reason I go into stuff like that is I don't think other shows kind of tell you things like that enough. Hopefully that made sense. If it didn't, let me know. All right. So what are some games on the board that I like? Obviously, the Brooklyn is on the board again. But really, on a slate like this, like I said, 12 games. So I don't want to touch any of those Brooklyn bums. I'm not going to do it. I wouldn't think of it in cash. Washington does play Brooklyn. Washington's been on a roll. They finally got beat at home by Cleveland. They are 9.5 favorites. Brooklyn's on a back-to-back. Brooklyn tends to keep these games close, but everyone for Washington's in play. Safe for all formats. Wall, Beal, Markieff, Otto, Gortat. Now do you need to do it? No, but obviously Wizards are playing up in pace. Really easy matchup for them, so they all should be safe. Denver, Atlanta, that's a 220. Really juicy game in terms of fantasy. So that's a game we can really attack. Atlanta's favored by 4. Atlanta playing way up in pace. The Atlanta guys are priced really reasonably across the board. So I really like the Atlanta guys in this game. Clippers, Knicks, 219 over under. The Knicks don't defend anyone. They are a walking atrocious disaster. Maybe we can bring the host of the Knicks podcast on the show to talk about what the hell's going on there. Talk about Porzingis. That we can do a whole show about Porzingis with that guy. Speaking of that, I will play Porzingis again in tournaments. So I will go down and I will play Porzingis every freaking night the rest of the year as long as he's under 7K. And one day he will win me a tournament. Gosh darn it. But that's a good game to attack. Lakers, Detroit. Obviously, I like all the Pistons. I love attacking the Lakers. They're a mini version of Brooklyn in terms of they can't defend any position. Cleveland, Indiana, really nice game here, 215, a nice little stack. You can stack that game. Even Toronto, Minnesota, 212, man, really good games all the way across the board. The only, you know, reducing the player pool, for me it's probably going to be the Spurs, Philly. Even with Kawhi out, you could go LaMarcus Aldridge, I guess, would be the one guy I'd probably still have in my player pool there. But Utah, New Orleans, get that game out of my life. I don't want to deal with it in cash games. I'm going to pretend like it doesn't exist. Now, in tournaments, you want to play some Anthony Davis? Of course. But for cash games, no. No way to that game. Also, Phoenix-Memphis, quite honestly, in cash games. Do I need that game in my life on this slate? No, I don't. No, I'm not going to do it. So there you go. If we knock off Utah-New Orleans, Phoenix-Memphis, and Spurs-Philly, boom, 3 games done. We're down to 9 games. That's more manageable. All right, teams playing up in pace. So we got, Washington against Brooklyn and the Bulls against Golden State are playing way up in pace. Now, I am worried about blowouts in both of those games a little bit, more so Bulls without Jimmy Butler especially. The Bulls may be a team I only target in tournaments, but they're elite targets. Washington, I think they're fine to target anywhere. Memphis playing way up in pace against Phoenix. Atlanta playing way up in pace against Denver. Those are probably the 4 teams I would focus on the most. Although, quite honestly, I don't even love the Memphis guys on this slate. Also, Memphis is like a 10-point favorite in that game as well. So another easy, another reason why that game we can just cross that off the list as well. And then Detroit is playing up in pace against the Lakers, so that's another team I will target. And I just love attacking the Lakers anyway. All right, top end of the place. Man, my spreadsheet is like 14,000 sheets long with 12 games. God, it's a lot of games. All right, so in terms of stars in play, LeBron, no Cousins, so that's one less star. There's LeBron, 11.5K, AD, 11.1, Towns, 10.8, Giannis, 10.7, John Wall and Isaiah are there. Jokic's price came down a lot, which is good. Durant, 10.3. So, you know, not surprisingly, on a big slate like this, we do have lots of stars. The one good thing, I think, is that there's no Westbrook or no Harden that we have to talk about. So there's no 13K players, even no 12K players, which is a good thing. All right. So point guard, John Wall, 10.5K. Like I said, Brooklyn, safe for all formats. The thing is, he had a bad game against Cleveland. He really did. If you're watching that game, he played pretty poor. He wasn't super – it was weird. He called it the biggest game of his life before the game. It was a bizarre comment by him. And then I don't think he was nervous. Maybe he was having a bad night. I'm not sure. Because the minutes were – everything was there. The minutes were there. Shots were there. But the game went to overtime. So he still ended up with like 41 FanDuel points. But – In regulation, I think he was around in the low to mid 30s. And, you know, with ending up with 41, that ended up being okay, I think, if you had him. But safe for all formats, the dude has him and Isaiah are both like the same price, and they both have monster usage rates, which basically are the same. They're right around 35%. So obviously on this slate, Isaiah gets Sacramento, Wall gets Brooklyn. If I had to choose between those two at that price, you know, both 10.5, 10.4K. Now, one, do you need either on a slate like this? You need to pay up that much? No, I don't think you do. But give me Wall against Brooklyn. Now, did Kemba take advantage of Brooklyn? No. So it's not a sure thing by any stretch of the imagination. And remember, Wall does have to give you now 50 FanDuel points to hit value. And that's why on this slate, I don't think you need to do it, because he is overpriced. And the one thing about Wall, he's been nice and steady. But when's the last time he's given you 60 FanDuel points? And that was rhetorical, because the judge is going to tell you. December 28th, 2016. So, you know, is he an elite play on this slate at that price? I mean, it's tough. I mean, I'd probably say no, just because he's overpriced. And it is, remember, if this is a five-game slate, I would say lock and load, because we're in Milwaukee. But we're in New York. You know, that it's 12 games. So I don't think you need to do it. Now, can you do it? Of course. Isaiah Thomas, prefer Wall. Wall's got a better matchup. But also, I prefer Steph Curry, quite honestly, too, with his 9% usage bump if Klay Thompson's out. But Isaiah, him and Wall both. The thing you could, the same thing I said about Wall, you can say the same thing about Isaiah, right? So super safe, giving you like 30 actual points almost every night. When's the last time he's given you like 60, which probably will be what you need to take down a tournament? I'll tell you, December 20th. So for him and Wall, basically it's been over like a month and a half, around since they've hit really what they would need to help you take down a tournament. Now, if you play them, are they going to destroy your lineups? No, they'll probably be nice and safe. And that's why, I think they're both fine for cash games. I just would probably prefer Wall a little bit, but they both are a little overpriced, and I don't think you need to do either. Quite honestly, there's got point guard, as you are probably aware, on a 12 game slate, it's loaded everywhere. And there's guys who are priced $4,000 or $5,000 cheaper who are going to be able to get you six, seven times, eight times value. So are those guys good plays? Yes, of course. But do you need to do them? No, because they're super expensive. And remember, the other thing you're trying to monitor, what's the opportunity cost of using them? Because it's going to impact how you build the rest of your lineup, you know, the rest of your roster. Now, if you play an 8K guy in one of your point guard spots, you have a lot more money to spend, obviously. So remember, you don't only take into effect what is that guy going to get you. It's also what is he going to let you do with the rest of your lineup. Steph Curry, I mentioned the usage bump without Klay Thompson. That's going to be too big for me to pass up. So if Klay is out, I will be using a ton of Curry. I think he's safe for all formats. If Klay's out, yeah, I really do. And I still need to think about what his ownership level is going to be. And that may be the deciding factor to see which one I play between Curry, Thomas, or Wall in something like cash games. But all are safe. I think in tournaments, though, I'd probably choose Curry out of the three of them if Klay Thompson is out. In cash games, probably I'd still go Wall, just because Brooklyn, how can he not get 45, 50 fandom points? Kyle Lowry, 8.9K. So I think DeMar is going to be back. I still think Lowry's fine, but he's a little overpriced. I think he's going to find a way to get you 40. That's about his ceiling, his floor these days. So if you don't have the money for Curry, Isaiah, or Wall, Lowry's okay to pivot to. I would probably on this slate prefer the Curry, Thomas, Wall, though, a little bit to Lowry, just because DeMar is coming back. And Lowry, the problem is usage. His usage rate is only about 27% with DeMar DeRozan. Eric Bledsoe, 8.6K. Remember, the Phoenix-Memphis game, get it out of my life. For tournaments, do you want to use him? Sure. I think Bledsoe's destroyed Memphis in the past, like recently. Actually, recently he put up 26 against them. But against Utah, he put up like 55, like 2 weeks ago. So, yeah, tournaments you can do it, but cash games, don't even think about it. I will come to your house, I will take my gavel, and I will beat you upside the head if you play Bledsoe, the Magic Mountain King, in cash games on a 12-game slate. Kyrie Irving looked really bad the last game against Washington. Overtime saved him, too. He ended up with 30 fandom points. I think in regulation, he must have been in the teens. And then LeBron found out, and then he took every shot in overtime. He's dealing with an injury, I think, so I'm not really sure what the deal was. Against Indiana, I'm just nervous after watching him play. Do I think he's a good tournament play? Yes. Single entry tournaments, sure. Do I want to use him in cash on this slate? No, I don't. Drew Holiday, remember, Utah, New Orleans, get it out of my life. Get it out of my life on this slate. Goran Dragic. Normally, I'm not a fan of attacking Milwaukee. They play slow and pace. Also, they defend the guard position really well. Dragic, though, has been a monster, and if Waiters is out, he does see a 2% usage bump. Richardson's already out. I just can't envision how he doesn't give me 40 fandom points. So I think he's safe for all formats on this slate with some upside. And this is actually a really sneaky game to attack. To stack with Middleton coming back from Milwaukee. So, yeah, I mean, I'm actually a fan of Dragic. He's a little overpriced, but he's playing so well. And if Deion Waiters is out, no issues with that play. Mike Conley, I don't want this Phoenix-Memphis game in my life. But just because Memphis is playing up in pace so much, do I think you can use Conley in cash games? I guess so. Yeah. If there was a guy in Memphis I would use, obviously it's going to be him or Gasol. And Gasol's 8.6K, so Gasol's way more expensive. I don't mind Lauer. I don't mind Conley in cash. Me personally, I'm probably just going to fade that game for cash games, though. But tournaments, though, yeah, it's an interesting spot for him. Jeff Teague, 7.4K. So he's probably going to get some Kyrie Irving defense, which is non-existent defense. Teague is suddenly becoming a guy who's also at Magic Mountain, so you can't use him in cash games. I watched that entire last Indiana game against OKC. He had three assists. It was super disappointing, only 26 fandom points. Against Westbrook, too, I thought he was in a good spot. It didn't work out. So tournaments only. I don't love it on this slate. Ricky Rubio, 6.7K. I mean, frustrating guy for me because used a lot of him a couple days ago, gave me 22 fandom points, and then didn't use him at all against Miami and put up 39. The difference was all about assists, all because of pace. Memphis was just too slow of a pace. Miami wasn't a great pace, but the game, at least Vegas thought it was going to be low over-under, but the pace of that game ended up being pretty high, and he got 13 assists because of it. So now he gets Toronto. The pace will be fine. I don't love it on a 12-game slate. This is a case where 5-game slate, I would say you can probably do it for cash. On a 12-game slate, I don't think you need to. Dennis Schroeder, 6.2K. Love attacking Denver guards. Schroeder's been up and down. The minutes have been an issue. So can't do it in cash games. But for tournaments, yeah, he's a really good tournament play at a really cheap and fair price against Denver. D'Angelo Russell, I don't use him in cash games. 20 minutes against the Knicks. Luke Walton can be an absolute dream killer, crush our souls. And he was coming off like three straight 40 fandom points nights. So he's going to be in play tournaments only. Reggie Jackson is an okay defender, but also Reggie Jackson is getting benched for Ish Smith. Ish Smith is an atrocious defender. So you want to go some Russell. I don't mind it, but don't do it in cash games. It's just not smart. George Hill. I actually use George Hill a ton 2 days ago. He was 5.8K, and he's playing Atlanta. Dennis Schroeder defense is really bad, and he gave me 42 fandom points. It was one of my best plays of that particular night. Unfortunately, the rest of my lineup sucked, so I wasn't able to take a ton of advantage of it. But, you know, 12-game slate, Drew Holiday defense and the Pelicans, you can attack their guards. Drew Holiday defense is not great. It's okay. I do think this is a fair price for George Hill. You know, when you look at guys like Russell and Schroeder, those guys you can't touch in cash games. Reggie Jackson, who I'll talk about in a minute, you really can't play in cash games right now. But George Hill, that's a fair price for him. I find he's going to find a way to get you close to 30 FanDuel points, I think, on this slate. So I think he's safe for all four. And he does have upside too. So I don't love the play, but I do think it's okay for cash if you're trying to save some money at point guard. Derrick Rose. So, you know, the Knicks are a mess. His first game back, he played 32 minutes and had 11 FanDuel points. I'm not going to play him. You can if you want. His price is... The price came down, so it's a reasonable price. So if you want to do it in tournaments, I get it. Maybe if I played 10 lineups, maybe I would use him in one. Reggie Jackson, he's in an elite tournament spot here, single-entry tournaments or GPPs. Now, do you want to do it in cash games? This is where it comes down to the 12-game slate. I don't think you need to. Now, if you did, would I come to your house, hit you with my gavel? No, because it's the Lakers. You can destroy them, so... The problem with him, though, is he hasn't hit 30 minutes in the last five games, and that's a problem. So he's getting like 27, 28 minutes. Against the Lakers, that should still give him like 25, 30 FanDuel points. But Stan Van is giving Ish Smith a lot of minutes lately, so you can't feel too confident about the Reggie Jackson play, even though it is the Lakers. Although I will gladly use him in tournaments, hope he gets hot and gives me 40, 45 FanDuel points, which he can do. Austin Rivers, 5.7K. His dad told me he's a good play. He gets 38 minutes a night. It's disgusting. So will I do it in cash? No. But the Knicks are so bad at every position. The Knicks are becoming a mini Brooklyn Lakers. They're becoming that bad defensively. I have issues playing with someone who's that bad at basketball in a cash game. So for me, more of a tournament guy that you could use. I mean, he's getting so many minutes, it's hard to just completely ignore. Tyler Johnson, 5.6K. I really like this play. I mean, I really do. If Waiters is out, he's safe for all formats for me. If Waiters is in on a 12-game slate, that feels like a force. I'm not going to force him in my cash games. But he's safe for tournaments either way. And if Waiters is out, I think he's safe for all formats. Darren Collison's price came up, which FanDuel was smart to do because Cousins is out. Remember, Collison gets a 6.5 usage bump. So I might do it right now on the show with you. Lock and load. Lock and load, my friends. And Isaiah Thomas defense, which is so, so bad. I know everyone, he's been one of the best five players in the league offensively, but defensively, he can't defend anyone. Doesn't even try. So Darren Collison, who I'm not a fan of in real life, this is a case where you take advantage of the injuries or the suspensions, whatever. So without Cousins, he's going to get all the minutes and all the usage he can handle. So safe for all formats on this slate. Best value play, in my opinion, at point guard. TJ McConnell gets the Spurs. I just don't want to do it. MCW against Golden State. Elite tournament play if Butler's out. If Butler's playing, then let's wait and see who starts for Chicago. If he doesn't start, I'm probably not going to play him too much. Fat Raymond Felton, 4.8K. I mean, he's still starting and getting like 30-something minutes. So he's also – I think he's safe for all formats on this slate. If you need to save a point guard, I would rather probably go Collison still without Cousins. But I think Felton's okay to do again as well against the Knicks. I don't – love it. If it was a 5-game slate, I would be much more inclined. Remember, it's not a 5-game slate. I will keep reminding you guys that. But it's fine. Even with him at a buffet table, even if you put a buffet table at center court, I think he's still going to find a way to stumble, bumble, and eat his way to 25 FanDuel points against the Knicks. And that's about it for point guard. You don't need to dig any deeper on a 12-game slate. You can if you want. I won't. Shooting guard, you got Giannis sitting there at 10.7K. He finally had his first big game in, like, what, 2 weeks against the Phoenix with 57 Fando points. Other than that, he was, like, in the 40s and 20s and 30s for a couple weeks straight. And it was Phoenix, so that was playing way up in pace. Now against Miami, Miami does not play. Although, the last couple games, Miami has been, Dragic has been pushing the ball a little bit, which is good. Middleton is coming back. I think long-term that Giannis will obviously his usage will take a little bit of a hit. But I don't think Middleton's going to get a ton of minutes to start off the bat. I'd expect him to play 12, 16 minutes, something like that. So Giannis is fine. I don't think you need to. I don't love the play. One reason I may play him just is because shooting guard is not point guard. It's not nearly as good. And you really only have three or four guys who have a decent usage rate who I feel comfortable about. Wade, Booker, Beal, and Giannis. Oh, I guess and DeMar DeRozan as well. So, but DeMar DeRozan's TC is just too expensive for me. But so he's okay. I don't love the play. And am I going to do it in cash games? Probably not. But for tournaments, sure. DeMar DeRozan, I think he's going to be back. But on a 12-game slate, I'm not paying 8.9K for a one-trick pony who has like a ceiling of 45 Fando points when that's basically him hitting value. So if you want to take a shot in tournaments, you can, but I think it's a house without a ceiling. D-Wade, I mentioned him at the top of the show. He's basically as close to a 40% usage rate without Butler. So if Butler's out, elite tournament play. Cash games, can you do it? Yeah, but I probably will not because the way – you know, he's old. And Chicago also has to win games. And if this gets out of hand early, there's no reason to waste Wade's energy. You know, the Bulls should focus – quite honestly, the Bulls should just tank this game and focus on the next game on the schedule because they need to win every game they can. They're not probably not going to beat Golden State. Although if Klay Thompson's out, I guess they have some – you know, a little bit better of a shot. But without Butler – it's just hard to see them competing. But I do think, will I play him in tournaments if Butler's out? Sure, because I'm not going to pass up a 40% usage rate. That's just that I'd be foolish. I mean, if he did it a couple nights ago against Sacramento in a slow-paced game, he put up 49 Fando points in 30 minutes. You know, so yeah. Bradley Beal, 7.4K against Brooklyn. You know, him and Booker are pretty close to me. Beal's price came up a lot because he had a 59 Fando point against Cleveland in an overtime game. He's still a one-trick pony. Don't be fooled by recency bias. Recency bias is a monstrous thing. Take that out of the equation. Then he still gets Brooklyn, though. It's an elite matchup. So, yeah, he's fine any format you want on this slate. And if you have choose between him and Devin Booker gets Memphis. So, yeah, of course, if I choose, give me Beal in cash games. Tournaments, a sneaky little pivot is just pivoting off of Beal. And and going to Booker in a tougher matchup. That's what a tournament player would do. And pros would play both because they don't make any decisions ever. Lou Williams, 6.3K. No, thank you. Not in a 12-game slate where he's going to get, 24 minutes? So with the ceiling of like 30 Fando points. Tim Hardaway Jr., I do like attacking Denver guards. That is one of my mottos. I have many mottos on my wall here. Differentiates one of them. Slate is another. Attack Denver guards, another one. Two of our last three games, he's been really good. But the one game he bad was Utah, so let's not count that. Great matchup, good spot. I would never trust him in cash games, but really good tournament play. Will Barton, out of every 10 games, he's going to go nuts. He had 49 Fando points against Dallas. If you saw that coming and played him, you should become a psychic because that, I mean, it's just, you can't predict when he's going to go off. There's no rhyme or reason ever. Dude's crazy. But he is talented. So it always makes him a tournament play. KCP. This is a really good spot for KCP. 5.3K. He's been at Magic Mountain. He's been all over the place. 21 Fando points, 5, 18, 50. So guy with a 50 Fando point upside against the Lakers. He can hit 10 times value, elite tournament spot for him. And against the Lakers, single entry tournaments, of course, it's hard to love it for cash games, but I think he's safe for all formats in this slate. Gary Harris, 5.2K. He's killed me too many times in cash games. So probably single entry or tournaments only for me. Last few games, he's been pretty good, but it's hard to play him in cash. Then you got the under 5K guys, including J.J. Redick, who's nice, safe, boring cash game play. He'll somehow find a way to get to 20 Fando points. Chris Middleton, first time you can mention his name on the show, talk about playing him. Yeah, don't play him. 4.5K, but yeah, just let's see how he does. You got Courtney Lee, Tony Allen, the worst player in the NBA right now, Kilpatrick, killing our lineups on a daily basis. 18 freaking minutes against Charlotte on Tuesday. 6 Fando points. Wow. You know, that's about it. So actually, I mean, shooting guard actually isn't that great, even though it's a 12-game slate, which is disappointing. So the more I think about it, Beal will probably be a lock for me in cash games. And then it's going to probably be, man, the KCP maybe? Ugh, that is really nasty for a 12-game slate. Yeah, unbelievable. Shooting guard, what a mess. All right, small forward, LeBron, 11.5K. You don't need to do it on a 12-game slate. It's very rare he's going to give you the 60 Fando points you need. He's hit 60 Fando points one time in the last month and a half or so, and that was last game, the overtime game against Washington, where he was phenomenal. So, can you always play LeBron? Sure. Do you need to? No. Durant, about $1,000 cheaper, 10.3K against the Bulls. It's all about, can that game stay close? How many minutes? I wouldn't do it in cash. He's also been really bad lately. I'm not sure what the deal is with him. Against Sacramento, 10 actual points, which for him is unheard of. So two of our last three games, he's been under 20 actual points. So I don't want to do that for cash either. Tournaments, sure. I mean, one thing I do like to do, I do keep a spreadsheet of like stars who are coming off of really bad games. And the next day's slate that they're playing, I will absolutely have one of them make sure I have each of them in at least one lineup. So I will absolutely have Durant in one tournament lineup. Let's see. Paul George, 8.6K. I think it's a good spot for Paul George. LeBron has been struggling all year long to play any defense whatsoever. The Cavs in general, I mean, they give up a ton of points defensively. That's one reason why they've been somewhat struggling lately. They just don't play defense. So Paul George is fine. He saved $3,000 from LeBron. George is a guy who's not always engaged this year. So will he get pumped up versus Cleveland? You would think so. That's a fair price. Can you trust him for cash? It's hard to this year, but I do think he has a floor of around 30 to 35 and the ceiling of about 50, 55 on this slate. Gordon Hayward, he's had some good games, so the price come up to 8K. 3 straight games in the 40s for him, which is pretty good. 2 straight games, 30 actual points. So I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued enough to play him in tournaments. I'm not going to spend 8K in a 12-game slate using him in cash games. Although, if you want to, not the worst move in the world. You know, I mean, you can make a case he's a safer play than Paul George. You know, 5-game slate, I would probably use Gordon Hayward in cash games. 12-game slate, I'm not sure. Carmelo, not cash game playable anymore. The Knicks are a mess. He's a mess. That's expensive for him now also because he's only hit, like, he needs 40 Fando points. He's done that like 1 out of 10 games. So, yeah, don't love it. Clippers do struggle to defend that position. So he's a tournament guy. He could go off for 50 any game. Not cash game play though. Andrew Wiggins. Remember, Wiggins gets a nice little bump without Zach LaVine. So last couple games, 35, 36 Fando points. That's with LaVine out, and one of those both were against slow paced teams, Miami and Memphis. So maybe he's going to become somewhat consistent now that LaVine's out. Toronto, okay matchup. Saves you some money from Paul George and Gordon Hayward. For me, though, I still want to use him only in tournaments. I don't trust in cash quite yet, but he's a really good tournament play. Otto Porter, you guys know my philosophy on Porter. I just don't do it because the upside's not tremendous. And, like, I mean, yeah, against Cleveland's a good example. He played phenomenal. And he does lead the league in three-point field goal percentage. Granted, he hasn't taken a ton of them, but still, he just doesn't touch the ball enough. Now, last game against Cleveland, he made, like, every shot he took, and he put up 39 FanDuel points. That's about his ceiling. So at his price, which is 6.6K, that's what he should be giving us, basically. Or I guess that's a little better than his than value, but still, it's just on a 12-game slate. You know, if you want to do it in cash games, I think it's okay because it's Brooklyn, so he's going to get extra possessions. But like for a tournament, I just think there's guys with probably a better upside that I'd prefer to go to. Jay Crowder, 6.5K. I used to love playing Crowder in cash games because he's super safe. Him and Al Porter are pretty similar players, quite honestly. They're guys with low usage rates. They can go a quarter without touching the ball, but they find other ways to stumble, bumble, and fumble into 25, 30 FanDuel points. Now, that's not good enough at their price. So, again, the slate dictates what I do. So this was a five-game slate. Both those guys would be pretty good for cash games. Here, it's a little bit of a force. You can still do it, but they'll probably end up with, you know, are they going to kill your lineup? No. But, will they be in, like, the winning lineup for GPPs? It's hard to see it. Covington's the opposite of a guy like Porter or Crowder. I wouldn't use Covington in cash games. Also, his price came way up. Also, bad matchup versus Spurs. But he has 50 FanDuel point upside. So, for tournaments, give me Covington. And Kawhi Leonard's out, too, so he doesn't have to worry about Kawhi Leonard defense. Wilson Chandler, another guy. He, unlike Porter and Crowder, has 50 FanDuel point upside. So as long as Gallo's out, I like playing Chandler in tournaments. Now, cash games, no. Give me Crowder or Porter in cash games. But for GPPs, give me Chandler. Marcus Morris, 5.8K. He's been playing better lately, and now he gets the Lakers. Three straight games, over 30 FanDuel points. Safe for all formats on this slate. Matt Barnes. Man, Matt Barnes' price came way up. It's 5.2K. Yeah, man. I mean, Cousins is out. He does see the usage bump. I guess it's okay. That's a lot to pay for Matt Barnes. If Cousins was playing, I wouldn't want it. But since Cousins is out, maybe he'll get some more shots. So I don't hate the play. That it feels like a little bit of a force for this slate, but you can do it. He has been playing. If you've been watching the Kings play, he has been great. It's been pretty weird because I've watched him play a couple months ago when he looked dead. I don't know if he's taking steroids, if he's just happy Derek Fisher, someone stole Derek Fisher's things. I'm not sure. TJ Warren. You guys hopefully know by now, TJ Warren, don't do it in cash, but really good tournament play. Coming off three straight games, hitting 6-7 times value. So even though it's against Memphis, I still think you can do it in tournaments. Then you got guys like the Bays, Tucker, Ron Ellis Jefferson, Bogdanović, Brandon Ingram, 4K. So I think he's going to be starting going forward for the Lakers. He had 26 FanDuel points against the Knicks. I know a lot of people don't like playing him, but if he's going to start, I think he's okay for cash games because he's going to play 30 minutes. Like, he's the one guy that Luke Walton loves, and the Lakers think he's going to be the best out of all their young guys. So he's going to stumble and get you 20 FanDuel points. And he does have upside. If he can make some shots, take some shots, he could give you 30-35. So I don't hate the play. He's dirt cheap, and he's starting with 30-plus minutes now. So, I hate it. I also don't hate Damari Carroll at 3.9K. He's not the best cash game play in the world, but – a guy you can throw in a tournament, he could give you 30 FanDuel points and hit, 6, 7, 8 times value. And then Jaylen Brown's another guy you could think about using if you want. All right, power forward, Anthony Davis. He's up against Utah. Don't do it in cash games. Don't even think about doing it. In tournaments, though, sure. It's hard to envision him having a monster night, but you never know. Jokic has come back down to earth a little bit. He's 9.8K. Not cash game for me right now. Tournaments, sure, you can do it. I don't love it. It's weird how fast, man, in DFS, we love a guy and then get off a guy. I'm trying to catch my own self. Am I thinking recency bias, or is this you know, truly my beliefs. And against the Spurs, that was a weird game. He barely played. It was a blowout. Against Dallas, he didn't look good either. But I only saw like part of that game. Only got 24 minutes. And I think they blew Dallas out, I think. He had 31 Fando points. So the more I think about it, I want to take recency bias out. I think he's fine. He should be okay. I still probably will only use him for tournaments, but he does. He has a massive upside in this game, I think. And Paul Millsap is a decent defender, but he's not big enough to guard Jokic. And Dwight Howard is not. I'm not sure if they'll put Dwight on. I guess they'll put Dwight on Jokic. Jokic should be able to take him out on the perimeter a little bit. I think that's fine. I think he'll be okay. It's not an elite play, but it's fine. Blake Griffin, 9.4K against the Knicks. I mean, I love this play. This may be the first day in a while that I am going to have a ton of exposure to Blake Griffin in months. I don't see any way that they defend him. Porzingis has been a mess. He's also been a mess defensively. He's been fouling everyone. He can't stop getting out of foul trouble. Blake can bully him down in the post. He can take him out on the perimeter. Porzingis, he used to be a good defender. He has lots of length, but Blake's a tough matchup for him. So I think Blake's safe for all formats. Remember, without Chris Paul, their entire offense runs through Blake Griffin. He could give you a triple-double very easily. I mean, 11 assists last game, 55 Fando points. Kevin Love, 8.2K. Thaddeus Young defense. Actually, I think Thaddeus Young is out, but attacking Indiana power forwards has been a thing all year long. Love coming off a really, really good game. 60 Fando points against Washington, 40 against the Knicks. Safe for all formats. Draymond Green, tournaments only. Talk about a man without a usage rate. And even when I looked at the stats, he doesn't see a big bump without Clay. Not a horrible play, but again, not a guy with a monster ceiling these days. Paul Millsap, 7.7K. So his price has come down, which is good because I've been using him a little bit and he's been killing me. Like seriously killing me. Like going to the hospital, telling the doctor asking me what's wrong. I say, I played Paul Millsap. He says, oh my God, there's nothing I can do for you. Like that's how bad it's been. I mean, he's been like in the 20s, like almost basically four straight games. But I like to take advantage of a guy when the price is low. Now we're getting him, we're doing some bargain shopping and Atlanta's playing way up in pace. So love this play. And I think a couple of those games where Atlanta blew the other team out too. So I think he's in a really good spot. Now give me, I'd rather have other guys for cash games, but tournaments, yeah, I love Millsap on this slate. Jabari Parker, 7.6K. To me, it's just too much to pay for a one-trick pony who's never going to rebound the ball. Even the last two games, he did rebound. He's starting to rebound a little bit, which is a good thing. But so it's okay. I don't love it. It's fine. He won't. If you play him, I don't think he's going to kill your lineup. I think he's probably going to give you 32 Fando points. And at the end of the night, you'll look at it and you won't know what to do. You'll be like, well, whatever. LaMarcus Aldridge. So without Kawhi, he sees a monster bump. Philly has been getting pounded down low lately. Whiteside destroyed them. I forgot who. I think it was Drummond before that who destroyed them. So Aldridge should be able to have his way. Now, I know we don't like playing Spurs in cash games, but it's a nice – with Kawhi, he'll probably be decent, you know, a decent ownership level. But I do love this play, and I think it's safe for all formats without Kawhi. Markieff Morris, the price came down a little bit, which is good because he was getting too expensive. This price, he's still a little expensive for me because he's got to give us 35 Fando points or so. But it's Brooklyn, so I think it's okay to do any format you want. Do I think you need to do it in cash? I do not, but you can. Porzingis is still sitting there at 6.6K, which is a fair price for him, the way that he's played. I mean, he's been really bad, guys. Really, really, really bad. Really, 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 really. I can't say really enough. Now, he got some garbage time fantasy points last game against the Lakers to, like, stumble into 29 Fando points. The last three has been 29, 28, 37. And he can't play any worse. That's the worst he can play. So I will keep playing him every night in tournaments. If I play him in a tournament and he puts that number up, that's not going to kill my lineup anyway. Will I be able to take down the tournament? No. But I still could cash in it. And I do. He's got 50 Fando point upside. Now, will I play him 100%? No, because I'm not crazy. But in a couple lineups, yes, it makes sense to me. Zeebo, it's against Phoenix, so you can take a chance, but I just don't think you need to. James Johnson, he does get a nice little bump without Deion Waiters. So if Waiters is out, I don't mind that play. But, yeah, his minutes have not been great lately. It's super frustrating. Why they start like Luke Babbitt and give Babbitt any minutes at all, even though sometimes Babbitt only gets like 15 minutes, those should all go to James Johnson. He should play 35 minutes a lock every night for them, for Miami. Then again, they've won 11 straight, so what the hell am I saying? They obviously, Spoelstra knows what he's doing. If you want some gravy, if you want, hey, let's pretend it's Thanksgiving on Wednesday. Why not? I love Thanksgiving. I love gravy. I love turkey. In some GPPs, you want to play some fat waffles, Randall? Yeah, he will have a 40 Fandle point night in the next 2 weeks. I'm calling it right now. Now, when will it happen? I don't know, because Luke Walton still refuses to give any of his young guys minutes besides Ingram consistently. But Randall, I saw him destroy Rudy Gobert. After that, I said, you know what? Any day, any matchup, he should be in play for tournaments. Now, is he an elite play? No, because Luke Walton is the devil. Ersan, 5.7K. Ersan's one guy all year long I get wrong every freaking night. Played a lot of him a couple nights ago. He got 20 minutes. Don't know why. Don't know what happened. Didn't watch that game. Yep. The game before that, 28, 46 before that. So, yeah, I'm not the Ersan whisperer. Now, is this a good matchup for him against the Spurs? No. He does have upside, so play him if you want. But yeah. Gorgui Dieng, man, he's gonna fall asleep on the court and he's gonna get you not even 30 minutes these days, so hard to love that play. Although I do like the fact his price is dropping pretty fast. So maybe I throw him in a lineup or two. Tobias Harris, his price has been coming down too. This Detroit team is a really weird one to watch play. He basically doesn't even get 30 minutes anymore. He does have upside. It is the Lakers. I think he's going to has like a floor of 20 in this game. So, and now he's cheap enough where I think he's safe for all formats. Is it still a little risky for cash? Yeah, it is. But single entry in tournaments. Yeah, go ahead. David Lee, 5.3K. He just keeps grinding along, stumbling, bumbling, fumbling into. His minutes have been on the decline, yet he still somehow gives you 20 Fando points. You know, would I prefer Tobias to him? Yes, I would, and they're basically like the same price. So it's hard to get too excited about David Lee. Let's see, Taj Gibson, 5K. Against Golden State, if Butler's out, maybe I'd do it in like 1 out of 10 lineups. Don't love that play, though. Yeah, basically every Piston is fine with me. I mean, you could do it. Yeah, you could do a Piston. You could play Tobias and John Lue in cash. I think they both give you 20 to 25 fandom points. Now, would that be enough? I don't know, but it won't kill your lineup. Willie Cauley-Stein is 4.6K. Remember, Cousins is out, so I think he gets 24 minutes. And I'm glad that Fandle did up his price a little bit. It makes me think about it. But they're playing Boston. Boston bigs are atrocious. Jarebko, Amir Johnson. Now, I haven't played Willie Cauley-Stein once all year long. I'm pretty sure if I hit the submit button, my computer's going to ask me, are you sure? Then if I hit it again, it's going to say, are you triple sure or double sure or whatever? So it may be more of a tournament play for me. But a guy, if he does get minutes, he does have talent. He does have upside. But that's not dirt cheap. Jamichael Green, he's sitting there at 4.5K. I mean, I'll pay that price against Phoenix. You know, if like Willie Cauley-Stein isn't starting, I might go Jamichael Green over Willie Cauley-Stein in like a cash game. And then a tournament, I'd probably go Willie Cauley-Stein. Then he got Dario Saric sitting there at 4.3K. More of a tournament play for me, but he's in the 20s, low 20s these days. Marquese Chriss, 4K. I know a lot of us used him last game out. Only got 17 minutes against the Pelicans, so Earl Watson wanted to be an a-hole. So can't love that play against Memphis, sure. LaVoy Allen's 3.9K. If Thaddeus Young is out, he will start and play 30 minutes. So if he does that, I tried to warn as many of you as I could last game that you don't have to play him. He gave you 16 Fando points. The thing is, at that price, that's not horrible, and that's probably like his floor. And he did put up 40 against Detroit, which I didn't think was possible because he stinks in real life. But if he's starting, yeah, he's honestly at that price, you can do it. It's fine for any format. But I still, you don't have to. I mean, he's really bad at basketball, really bad. All right, center Karl Anthony Towns, 10.8K. Some of the early sites that I was looking at projections had him for a monster night against Valanciunas, which I was a little surprised at, although then again, I have seen a couple guys beat down Valanciunas lately. He's expensive. So do you need to do it? No. Centers are pretty good on this slate. I think you can get some guys who are a lot cheaper who can have some big nights. But like, will I use Towns in some tournaments? Sure, of course. Whiteside, 9.1K. Bucks bigs are a mess. Now, I think now they have Hibbert and Hawes, right? So they should be amazing at guarding defending centers. Ooh, Hibbert and Hawes. Add them to Henson and Monroe. Whatever. Would I trust Whiteside and Cash? Never right now. Tournaments? Sure. He put up like a 30 points, 20 rebounds a couple nights ago. You can do it in tournaments. Marc Gasol playing up in pace. So I think he's fine. I think he'll find a way to give you a 35 to 40. I think that's like his floor, I think, on this slate. So it's fine. A little expensive, though, for me. Drummond's in an elite spot, and he's been playing a lot better lately. I don't know if he's taking like some five hour energy pills or whatever. It's hard to use him in cash because he's burned me a lot this year. But there's just no one for the Lakers that will be able to defend him. So he should gobble up rebounds at a rate quicker than Raymond Felton at the buffet line. And I think you can save over 2.5K from Towns. And could he have more Fando points than Towns at the end of the night? Sure, of course. I think it's actually if I had to put a wager. Who has more Fando points, Drummond or Towns? Just because Drummond might fall asleep, I'd probably go Towns, but barely. It's like 51%, 49%. So Drummond's safe for all formats. You know, it's also safe for all formats. Rudy Gobert. The Pelicans are really bad defensively at guarding centers. Gobert is going to get every rebound in the world in this game. So he's got a floor of like 30 and a ceiling of around 50. Obviously, I want Drummond, but a nice pivot in tournaments. Pivot off of Drummond, who's going to be chalk, and play some Rudy Gobert. Al Horford, 7.6K. Cousins isn't there, so he's going to get, what, Kufis, Cauley-Stein? Well, I mean, fine. I think it's a safe play, but Gobert's right there. Give me Gobert. DeAndre Jordan gets the Knicks. The Knicks have struggled to defend center all year long. The problem with Jordan lately is he can't He never sees 30 minutes anymore. He's still getting he's rebounding in at the same rate he always does. But if he's not going to get a ton of minutes, I can't love the play. But I will do it in like one or two tournaments and hope he does get extended minutes. Brooke Lopez, 7.2K, tournaments only. Dwight Howard against Denver, against Jokic. I'm a little intrigued, a little bit. Dwight can't go to Magic Mountain because he's got back issues. So like they wouldn't even let him on the rides because you know he's liability issues with the Hawks. You know might be a big he could injure himself and that'd be a problem for all of us. Not a guy with a big ceiling these days, but the price is very fair. I think it's a nice safe play. Gortat against Brooklyn. Sure, another guy, nice and safe. And I guess because it's Brooklyn, if I had to choose between him or Dwight. I guess I go Gortat, but he's a guy, another guy, not a big usage rate. He relies on every time he scores, it's a pick coming off a pick and roll with John Wall or off an offensive rebound. Miles Turner, tournaments only. He's been killing me in some lineups lately, but he does have upside, and that's what I look for in tournaments. So tournaments only. And I will say this: they're playing Cleveland. Tristan Thompson cannot defend him. He should take Tristan Thompson out on the perimeter. He'll be able to take threes. He'll be able to dance circles around Tristan Thompson. He's too big for Tristan Thompson physically. in terms of length. So I do like the spot a lot for him, tournaments. And he'll be less than 5% owned, which is my favorite thing. Hernan Gomez, FanDuel upped his price to 6K, rightfully so. And even at that price, is he in play? Yes. Is he a great play? No, not at 6K. But you can do it. It's a little bit of a force at that 6K, but it's still fine. I wish he was starting. I wish he was going to get 30 minutes and not 24, but it's okay. I mean, he's the same price as Valanciunas. So, man, that's pretty crazy. Valanciunas, if I had to choose between Valanciunas and Hernan Gomez, give me Valanciunas. Just, it's actually, so I have to think about it, but it's close. Man, I really do have to think about it. Huh. I mean, Hernan Gomez is super. I mean, if you watch him play, he's really talented, man. He can give you assists. He can facilitate the offense. And now with DeMar DeRozan back, Valanciunas' usage rate takes a hit of about 4 percentage points. So I got to think. My initial thing is still I would lean Valanciunas between those two, but I would think about it maybe a little bit. Triscuit, if you want something that's stale, bitter, and probably the most disgusting thing you've ever tasted in your mouth, play Tristan Thompson. Of course he's been great the last, you know, two out of last three games. Of course he has. I mean, he's been close to 40 FanDuel points now, two out of last three games, after he put up that 8 or 9 FanDuel point night against Dallas and he took 0 shots. DFS can be a cruel, cruel place, my friends. Tyson Chandler against Memphis, no thank you. Greg Monroe. I don't know what Jason Kidd's going to do with his big men on this slate, so I'm going to watch the news and see how many minutes, if we hear anything about Greg Monroe, but I could see Kidd playing all four of those centers, Hawes, Hibbert, Monroe, Henson, so I can't love Monroe. Kufis is 4.9K. If Kufis is going to start, I think it's a great elite punt play. Now, he stinks in real life, too. He's horrible. He really is really bad. But if he's going to get 24 minutes against Boston, it's just he's got to get 20, 25 FanDuel points. So how can he not? Robin Lopez, 4.8K. You know, I don't know. Tournaments only. He's been good without Butler. I would think the Bulls would go small to match Golden State because no team ever decides to play big and pound them, you know, on the boards like a smart coach would. So it's very, very fair price. It's fine. Spencer Hawes. I'm not going to play that bum. Let's see. Anyone else that I want to touch? Naghead's 4.1K. Wasn't he power forward? God, he still gets like as many minutes as Valanciunas. It's so freaking frustrating. Yeah, that's about it for center. I'm not gonna go digging for, you know, a Dwayne Dedmon or a Kyle O'Quinn on this slate. Then again, Dedmon's a fantasy point per minute monster. So Dedmon starts maybe. All right, that's it. That's slate. We got through it. My voice is hoarse as hell. Man, I felt like it was like a 4-hour show. I am exhausted. All right. Hopefully that helped you guys out. So large slate, be safe. If you don't remember, if you're not confident, if you don't have time to process 12 games, which a lot of us don't play as much. Don't play the same amount you normally play. Like I can already tell you, I'm going to play about half my normal amount because I don't have 7 hours tomorrow to do the type of analysis that I can do on like a 7-8 game slate that I think will prepare me better than 99% of the field. So, just because of that, I'll play a little bit less. So, you know, remember, just do what you feel comfortable with. If you don't have the adequate time to prepare, don't play as much. Be smart. Any questions, tweet at me at DanielAGreen1. Other than that, man, I got to go to bed. I'm exhausted from me and the bailiff. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Court is adjourned.